So I invite you to grab your Bibles. And turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Let's pray as we prepare to read God's word. Father, thank you again for today. Thank you for your word, thank you for your kindness, your goodness, your graciousness, and the love that you have for us, fully expressed in Jesus Christ. I pray that as we look at your word, God, that we would be pierced by it, that we would be encouraged by it, that we would be challenged, exhorted, that we would learn from it, that your Holy Spirit would move and our hearts would soften our hearts, that we would be obedient to your leading and calling because of your word this morning. Help us with that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Well, Matthew chapter 12, and I want to again step away from the book of Romans for a week and take an opportunity to preach a message that's really been on my heart for quite some time now. I think it's fair to say that this has been a difficult season for all of us. I think I'm a little hot. Can you bring that down a little bit? Thank you. But I think it's fair to say that this has been a difficult season for all of us. Life has been hard. There's a global pandemic, if you haven't noticed. And while we are not in control of, nor can we change what is going on around us, the external factors that are out of our control, we can control our response to them. I want us to look at a passage where Jesus is explaining how we can know for sure whether or not we're responding well to our environment, whether or not we're responding in a way that honors God. And so again, Matthew chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 33 through 37 this morning. And I'll start off reading Matthew 12, verse 33. This is Jesus speaking, and he says this: "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil." So to just kind of catch us up of what's kind of happened in the book of Matthew to where we find ourselves, where we read those passages, we find Jesus here, along with his disciples, on a Sabbath day. Sabbath day is a day of rest that God commands for his Christians to participate in, a day where they step back from working, earning, striving, effort, and they commit that entire day to the Lord. It is a fulfillment of one of the Ten Commandments, but it's also at its heart a tangible expression of trust in God. It's trusting God and saying, "God, I know that I am awesome." That's kind of a joke. "But I can't provide for me like I think I can. I can't work hard enough and earn. And all of the things that I have accumulated, the house, the cars, the trinkets, the toys, those aren't because of me and how great I am, but they're from you. And so I am giving you a day to step away from that, to show as a sign of trust that you still work while I sleep, that you still are in control and are God when I stop." So that's the Sabbath day. Jesus and the disciples are on a Sabbath day. And he does some things on this Sabbath day that actually upset the religious leaders. If you read earlier in Matthew chapter 12, he picks some grain to eat and provides that grain for his disciples to eat. He healed some people. And he cast out a demon as well. Those actions angered the religious leaders. Because in essence, the religious people of the day were upset that, yes, Jesus was doing ministry on a day that was designed by God to be a day of rest. And by doing so, they interpreted this as Jesus working, as not honoring the Sabbath, as breaking that commandment. The reality was, the religious people weren't so upset that Jesus was doing ministry. I suppose they were upset that Jesus was doing ministry in a way that wasn't on their terms. They were upset that they couldn't be in control. And as the text says, right before verse 33, Jesus, knowing their hearts, spoke to the situation, and he speaks the words that were just read. And I want to point out that what you'll notice from the passage that we just read, or really from the response that Jesus takes to what the religious leaders and the Pharisees are thinking in their hearts, Jesus doesn't go into a long discourse on how theologically and biblically he is correct in providing food for those in need, for healing, for casting out demons on the Sabbath. He easily could have done that because he was theologically and biblically correct in doing so. He doesn't do that. No, instead, he points out the hardness of heart and the inappropriate response of their hearts to what the religious leaders are experiencing. And Jesus does that by drawing attention to character and integrity. Jesus says that a good, healthy tree will produce quality, edible, delightful, good fruit. And yet on the other side, no matter how lush on the outside, no matter how externally beautiful a tree may look in its appearance, if at the core the tree is rotten, that tree will then produce rotten, inedible, bad fruit. In other words, what Jesus is saying is what's on the inside will eventually show itself on the outside. It may be a day, it may be a month, it may be years, but what is inside will eventually make its way to the outside. You cannot escape or mask what's really going on in a person's heart. You cannot escape or mask what the true spiritual condition of a person is, because eventually it will come out. It will be made known. That whatever you have laid up in your heart over time, what you have filled yourself with, will eventually come out. This truth is an eye-opening truth and an eye-opening opportunity for those of us here today, because all of us are in a moment that has exposed our hearts. All of us are in a moment that has caused overflow from our lives to pour forth for the world to see. Said earlier, we sit in the midst of a global pandemic, amidst societal unrest, racial tension, a growing divide over law enforcement, a massive unemployment rate, school systems being turned upside down, daily shifts within everybody's workplaces, and a highly contentious presidential election that earnest people on both sides of the party aisle have described in extreme existential terms. All of this on top of the normal difficulties that life throws at us and that we all experience. There is a lot that we are all having to deal with right now. And understandably, this has produced with it all kinds of frustrating experiences for all of us. And so to connect this with what Jesus is saying in this passage, I would use the metaphor of a cup. If you think of a cup symbolizing your heart, and what is inside of the cup is what you have filled yourself with in your heart. And this pandemic and all of the things that are associated with it, as well as the other things, it is not and whatever side of you has begun to spill out. And that knocking is different for each one of us. For some, losing your job has knocked your cup. Or being furloughed has knocked your cup. Having to transition from your workplace to now working at home has knocked your cup. Having to adjust to the technology and digital platforms that your work is now utilizing has knocked your cup. Having your favorite restaurant or business close has knocked your cup. Having your business close has knocked your cup. Having to have your child finish school at home last year has knocked your cup. And now having to digitally, virtually homeschool your child has knocked your cup this year. Losing youth sports has knocked your cup. Having your spouse now have to work from home, bringing you all into closer proximity and thereby providing more opportunities for conflict, has knocked your cup. The over-politicizing of the pandemic has knocked your cup. Having to worship differently has knocked your cup. Having to wear a mask has knocked your cup. Asking to wear a mask has knocked your cup. Seeing others not wearing masks has knocked your cup. Trying to include you all in this.
Amen.
Everyone's life has been greatly impacted these last 7 months in some way, shape, or form, and thereby everyone's cup has been hit and bumped and knocked, and what we have stored up inside of us in the past is now spilling out. My question for you today, this morning, is, what is spilling out of you? What is overflowing from your heart as all of these frustrating events are being experienced by you? If we were to be honest, I would imagine that many of us would say that we aren't really pleased with what's come out at times. That we aren't really pleased with some of the words that have poured forth from our mouth. We aren't really pleased with some of the behaviors and actions that we've responded with. Anger, impatience, short-temperedness, unkindness, lack of grace that at times have spilled forth from our cups, from our hearts. I know for myself, I've noticed in my own life an increased impatience. I'm more easily agitated, much more easy to fall into melancholy. This has probably been the experience for many of you. I know this has been the experience of many within our own community, because even in my own personal interactions and daily conversations that I've had with people out and about in the community, others in our city, there has been a major increase in frustrating personal interactions. Recently playing pickleball with a local high school teacher, history teacher, and he was sharing with me some of his experiences, and he talked about that within his teaching school world, how you have teachers who are just going, or you have teachers who have parents who are just going off on them because of the current schooling situation. You have parents who are having to deal with all the changes, the digital, virtual homeschooling, the technology issues, having their kids home. And you have teachers who are learning and having to adjust to these things as well. And those parents are just laying into those teachers. And in turn, because those teachers are not only receiving extra anger and frustration, they also are dealing with their own personal anger and frustration, with their own personal home lives, with their own kids. They are directing that received anger and personal anger and going off at their administration. And then you have administration receiving all of that, dealing with their own stuff, and they're bringing it more upward and on, and this cycle that just doesn't end. And sadly, this cycle could be found within almost every workplace. I'm sure all of you could get up here and share the cycle of frustration and anger and unkindness and impatience that have been laid into you, that you have, if you were to all be honest, laid into others. What I want to point out is, from what this passage that Jesus is saying, is that what is spilling out from all of us has actually always been there. It was not solely created by this pandemic. This pandemic has just been somewhat of a relief valve of sorts. We know that God is in control of everything, including this case. And with that truth in mind, I would ask you to entertain a question. What if God ran or allowed to expose what has always gone on inside of us? Whatever it is poured out from our hearts, dear God, isn't because of the pandemic, but is associated with it. Because of the political unrest, social unrest, it's been in our hearts because it's what we've dealt with over time. We've not seen it manifested due to our circumstances. And all the bumping and the knocking that we've experienced has really just given rise to what has been inside of our hearts all along. So now, with our hearts being bumped and knocked, what we have been filling ourselves with over the years is what is filling out for all to see. So we see that our outward responses, that's the truth of Jesus right there. He's saying, out of the overflow, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, basically he's saying, hey, these words, they come from somewhere else. They're not just happenstance. They're not just random. And your actions, same thing. They come from somewhere else. They're not just random and they're not just happenstance. They come from what's inside of you. They come from what you have been investing your time, energy, what you have given yourself over to, what you have consumed. That's where they come from. So we see that our outward responses come from what has been inside of us all along, which is what we are choosing to fill ourselves with. Well, how is God going to view and deal with what has been spilling out in our lives? Again, verse 36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Is that every careless word that comes from our mouths will be submitted. I would argue that every careless social media post that you have made will be judged. And I don't know about you, but that's a scary thought for me. That every word, that every action is going to be judged. Especially in light of some of the things that we might have said in the last 7 months. Romans 8, God works together for good. All works all things together for the good, for those who love him, called according to his purpose. All things are designed about your character and growth in Christ. All things, both good things and what we would deem as not good that we don't like. So that we can say with confidence, though we may not like it, that God wants to use this pandemic and all the issues tied with it as a tool to expose areas of growth needed for you as a child of God. Regardless of what we think about all of this, regardless of what we think about the pandemic and all of the issues that come with it, it's here. The circumstances and the situation that we are in, we are in. We cannot change that. We are where we are. But the question is, are we going to use it as an opportunity to grow in our walks with Jesus? Or are we going to continue to get bitter, angry, and frustrated and blame someone else because of it? So here's some diagnostic questions to hopefully help you grow and redeem this time that you find yourself in. What are you filling yourself with? What is it that you have noticed overflowing from your heart? If you find yourself more easily angered, more impatient, less kind, bitter, frustrated, or impatient these days, 3 months ago. Why is that? Are you spending too much time watching the news? Scrolling social media? Do you spend more time on your screen than you do in the Bible? Identify the things that you have been filling yourself with over the years and understand how they're affecting you. I've had to do this in my life numerous times. I used to watch TV. We don't have TV anymore because of how it affects me. Personally, I've made a conscious decision to not interact or be on social media really, because it's not good for my soul. More often, it leaves me frustrated and discouraged and dejected than anything that it can bring of value to my life. As well, it's just a waste of time for me, and that time can be used for much better things like my kids, my family, or work. So I don't do it, I've removed it. What do you need to remove? What has been contributing to the garbage that has been spilling out of your heart lately? Remove it. I was really encouraged by a friend of mine recently who noticed what many of us would not put on the table of negotiable as removable from our lives, but noticed that all the changes within his work field were beginning to produce a response and a type of person that he just did not want to become. And I would imagine many of you would have a very difficult time with saying, wow, I'm going to completely quit and step away from a career that I've invested decades in because it no longer serves my heart and thereby my family, my faith, my God. Good. It's a hard decision. But what's more important? What does it gain a man if he gains the world but forfeits his soul? Remove it. Remove things, even morally neutral things like a certain job or social media in of itself, morally neutral. Remove things from your life that don't produce godliness. And that, in fact, in turn, for you, for some reason, have produced the opposite. And then decide what you should be filling yourself with instead of. So, as you assess your heart and responses to life, ask yourself, what is my next practical step that I need to take in order to make change? For some, like me, it may mean getting off of television or social media for a while. It may mean a recommitment to daily Bible reading. It may mean that whatever you've been spending these hours of your day pursuing that have produced this anger, frustration, impatience in your life, it may mean removing that and replacing it with prayer time, time of solitude, adding some quiet time to your day, going for a walk. Going for a walk alone, going for a walk with some of your family members. This passage mentions that we will be judged by the careless words that we speak. And careless is a key word there, and the opposite of carelessness is intentionality, thoughtfulness. We need more intentionality and more thoughtfulness. So, over the next few days, how are you going to carve out time in order to think about what is spilling out from your heart? What words from your mouth are coming forward? What thoughts of your mind are bleeding out? What actions and behaviors are you participating in? And to think about what you've been filling yourself with and how those tie together, to wrestle with these questions. And to make a plan to fill yourself with different things so that grace and kindness is what pours forth from your heart. I would just leave you with this last statement. So many people in our world are tired, hurting, and trying to do the best that they can without all the answers. And especially as Christians, I would exhort you to take it a little easier on each other. Extend grace as you fill yourself with godly gracious. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for passages like these. They're difficult, they're hard, they're hard-hitting because they ask of us to sacrifice, to do the hard work of being intentional and assessing our lives and forsaking the easiness of not engaging our faith on a deep, practical, intellectual level. God, give us grace and strength to do this. To do the hard work of thinking about what we pursue, what actions and thoughts we give ourselves over to, and how they are forming us, and how they are shaping us and discipling us, and thereby making decisions to remove and replace them with things of you, with your word, with prayer, with church, with fellowship, with silence and solitude, with fasting, with the mortification of our sin. Give us that strength to do that this week. Holy Spirit, convict and move in the lives of your people. I ask that you would show and expose areas of our hearts that need your work, and that we would play our part in obedience and response to your grace and grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray.